Welcome back to the One Iron. Today we're going to talk about the new rules for the year 2022. They rolled out January 1st. They rolled out 48-inch driver is no longer allowed. So that pissed off Bryson DeChambeau and Mickelson because he won with the, I think he had a 47.9-inch driver when he won his 2021 PGA. And then we're also going to talk about the greens books, how they're no longer allowed on the tour. Professional or any professional tournament, that is. And then we're going to talk about the how everybody's doing at the Century Tournament of Champions. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors. So yeah, let's just jump right into it. No more greens books.
I don't know what that means.
So basically, before this, they were able to take these crazy... I mean, they were able to use any technology to go out before the tournaments and basically map out the greens.
Okay.
So they knew the slope, they knew the undulations, they knew... Basically, they could look at this book... And it would tell them where to putt the ball.
Where to chip the ball, or where to putt from where they're at.
Yeah, so like wherever the ball landed, it took all the skill, not all the skill, I won't say it would take all the skill, but it took some of the skill out of putting, basically. But being able to read the green.
So can your caddy carry a greens book?
No.
So you need to get like a caddy that can memorize that.
So they're not allowed to use any technology at all. So basically...
They can't even measure it. They can't even practice.
No, they can't even measure it. They're not allowed to have allowed to have levels or anything like that. They're allowed to go out there. I don't know, like in the old movie or with movies that we used to watch, where the caddy would go out for the tournament and like roll balls, basically.
Yeah.
Like that's what you're allowed to do.
Really?
You're allowed to go out and roll golf balls on the greens. That's it.
Interesting.
So instead of having these crazy books that basically told them where the slopes were.
Yeah.
Now they actually have to read the greens.
Well, it's like my get paper out of baseball take.
What? Get paper out of baseball?
Yeah, they all got these cards. Oh. Tell someone to go on the shift and all this. I remember and someone stole someone's card and I was like, good.
Yeah, no, you're talking
about... paper out of baseball.
You're talking about how catchers have their
not
their
even
wrist.
Just catchers. Pitchers have they have the order in their hat and position players have the shift on their arm.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not a baseball podcast, but I appreciate, like, let's get this all out of, not all of it, but, you know, I don't mind easing up off it a little bit.
I mean, it ends up turning into they have to read the greens.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what I have to do when I go out, when I play.
You don't bring your stimp meter?
No, I don't bring my stimp meter. I don't know what these greens look like. So I'm out there, you know, guessing, basically.
Yeah.
But these guys are professionals. They're getting paid millions of dollars every year.
You're very confident when you... I mean, I've never seen you... I think it's... You go, no, you're putting in the wrong place. That's what you tell me every... And then you go, see? It's awful.
Well, I'm obviously very confident when it's not me putting.
Not
I mean, I'm willing to look at your line and be like, nah, that's wrong. That's completely wrong.
Right here. And then it doesn't work. And you're like, yeah, aimed wrong.
I know that Jordan Spieth made a comment that said that, you know, and most of the players agreed on this rule change.
Really?
Most of the players agreed. I mean, the only person... So this is another one where Bryson is probably impacted. He would go out and use as much technology as possible to basically, you know, he could pinpoint exactly where he needed to put the ball. And this is what he lived by. Like, he's not a green reader. He's a study beforehand person.
Yeah.
And so he's probably the only person that has an issue with it. Everybody else is like, okay, yeah, this is golf. Like, right. I'm supposed to be able to putt.
That's how they all started, obviously, right? It's just how everyone plays, right? And so it becomes these, like, additional things in the game, and maybe it feels like you're getting further away from the game that they want to play. So I can see them all being like, good, I don't have to... We're all still on an even playing field. It's just... And now it's more on me and less on my prep.
Right, exactly, yeah. It's more on... Well, I mean, they still have to prep.
They still have to prep, but it's not like... It's not It's not like, to the same degree.
It's not like, crap, I didn't go buy the right book. Like, they could go out and buy these books. Oh, I see. You know, and then they would play their practice rounds, and they would make, and they would write down whatever they wanted to write down. But yeah, so, I mean, we're going to see more people using the aim point technology. Well, it's not technology, but it's the aim point strategy. So, like, there's this guy, he created this book that, you know, you go out there, and you'll see people, like, weighing with their feet the slope. They'll like go the halfway mark, yeah, and then they like put up their fingers and they're like trying to figure out 2 inches or two lengths outside of the cup or three, and you know, they're doing this crazy thing. But yeah, you'll see a lot more people doing that now just because they don't have, you know, these crazy greens books that tell them where to putt. Now they actually have to be like, okay, maybe it's this far. So yeah, your caddies are going to be more useful. Well, they're gonna spend, like, you know, a good 5 to 10 hours more going out and studying these greens for their players too. So it gets everybody involved. Yeah. I mean, I love it. It's great. I think
it's great.
I don't see a problem with this rule. Like, this one's fine.
Yeah.
The next rule where they rolled back. So yeah, you can only have a 46 inch driver on tour.
How long is my driver?
Nowhere near. Yours is probably like 45, maybe.
And I'm allowed to have 46, you said?
You're allowed to have 46, yeah.
So that's kind of near.
No. Well, I mean, okay. I'm sorry. So the 40, you're nowhere near the 48 inch.
Oh, 40.
As like, you're allowed to have a 48 inch because we're not playing in tournaments. Yeah, yeah. Like, we're not playing for money.
Would that help me, you think?
No, because like, we're not accurate off the tee as it is.
Well.
Okay, if we have a really good day and we're extremely accurate off the tee,
which is some days.
Some days, then it might help you a little more, but you're gonna lose your accuracy. So the longer your club, the harder it is to hit it straight, basically.
But you got a bigger lever.
Yeah, you're getting more club head speed, and your ball is going to go further. But you're losing your accuracy. So if you don't hit it anywhere near the sweet spot, it's skyrocketed on another hole, basically. So there's no reason we should be using it.
Sounds like you're afraid of me with a 48-inch driver.
I mean, we could totally get you a 48-inch, like, used driver, and you can see what it's like.
Non-left-handed.
Non-left-handed, yeah. So the story behind that is what did you order? You ordered a 5-iron?
I had that 5-iron I love, and I wanted to get a... What is the brand? I mean, they're Callaways, but they're, like, the... I forget the name of, like, the... Whatever.
The Apex? I don't know.
I wanted a 3-wood.
Yeah.
Of the same. I had been drinking a little bit, maybe. And I found a hell of a deal on one on eBay. And I bought it, and I was so excited, and it came, and I pulled it out of the box, and it broke my brain. Because I was like, something's wrong. I've never held a golf club backwards by mistake before. And then I realized it was left-handed, and that's why it was so inexpensive.
And now you
can't sell it.
Yeah, no, you can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. You could take it to Goodwill. That's about it.
It's a nice club. It's like brand new.
Well, yeah, and that's the reason why. And somebody else bought it, and they're like, I'm not left-handed. I gotta get rid of this thing. But yeah, so Mickelson ended up winning the 2021 PGA Championship.
I remember that.
With a 47.9-inch. And he is, like, super pissed.
He is pissed. You're not saying I think he would be.
No, he's super pissed. He's already gone on Twitter and like made a.
Is that gonna be our weekly segment? What he said on Twitter.
What he said on Twitter. It should be. I mean, this is back to back.
Yeah.
But he won the whatever player performance or player whatever. He's always on Twitter saying something.
And so he's an older gentleman.
Right.
So a little length on the club keeps his club speed up, keeps him competitive.
Yeah, and he's been super accurate with that, with his longer clubs too. So it wasn't impacting him any. So like, he was just taking advantage of his club head speed.
So really, an inch makes that big of a difference for these guys.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, these are the guys in the long drive contest. Like, they have these massive drivers. I don't even know what the distance, how long theirs are. They're bigger than 48 inches. Oh, but you'll watch them on the long drives. You'll see these balls skyrocket like. into another time zone. But and then Bryson was pretty pissed, obviously, because he's the one that originally was like all for these longer drivers, and he's still out driving everyone. Even if he uses a 46, really? He's still gonna out drive everybody.
Really?
Yeah, because he's put on he has the technique down for a long driver.
Technique?
Yeah.
What you think?
Yeah. No, it's definitely technique.
I just wanted to see if you were going to slander at
most. No. I think that Bryson has definitely worked towards becoming a long driver, and that's the biggest thing that he's improved on. So, you know, like I said, he had these awesome greens books because
he's a crafty and stuff.
Yeah, no, he does all this stuff. He does so many calculations in his head to try to do better, but it boils down to what's your technique. And I feel like off the tee, Bryson is good, and it was great that he had these longer drivers. It gave him an edge, but I don't think he needs it.
So what's the thought process behind this? Courses are getting too short for these players. Let's make them a little longer by taking an inch off, or...
Right, so this is... So the PGA, the USGA, and the RFA are trying to figure out how they can stop players from hitting further. Like, there are a lot of things.
Why?
Yeah, it's because of that reason that they're saying that courses are too short.
Yeah.
So, like, all these courses that are very popular or that have been around forever.
Right, right. Golf's advanced so far, the gear's advanced so far, and then you're playing 100-year-old courses and it's 200-year-old, whatever.
Right, so then it comes down to, like, players aren't even hitting drivers off of the tee.
Yeah.
And, like, and to be honest, it's not that big of a deal. Like, they still have to, you know, put the ball in the hole. Like, it's not, like...
But the PGA wants to slow it down.
Yeah, they want to stop the distance game going on. Like, they want to stop the long drives that are going on. So this is one of the ways that they can do it. And then the other ways are they're talking about rolling back, like, the golf ball. Like, the golf ball keeps advancing.
That's what I was going to say, because that's the thing of baseball, right? They'll juice the ball. They'll nerf the ball. They won't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Apparently last year they used both juiced balls and deadened balls in the same, and no one knew which games they were using the... Doesn't matter. MLB's in charge of the baseball.
Right, right.
All these, like, I understand they have to make them to a certain spec, but aren't these guys sponsored by different ball companies and stuff?
Yeah, they are, yeah. So, like, they're going to have the same restrictions on what can go into the ball.
So, that's a world, to me, that seems like a more difficult world change to make, because now all of a sudden you have Titleist going, hey, what the hell, man, we have...
Yeah, no, that's even for the longer drivers. Like, you had all these companies rolling out over 46-inch shafts in these drivers, and they're like, what the heck, now we can't use these.
Yeah, no one's going to want these anymore.
Right, like, they spent all this time and money in these drivers, and they're like, okay, we lost all that R&D money. Like, what the heck?
Deadening the ball seems like a step backwards. I mean, I get it for the same reason, but it's like... I assume in the 50s there was a golf ball with an ad that's like, this is like groundbreaking technology. We put so many rubber bands in this thing, you won't believe it, right?
Yeah.
It's all like, I feel like that's part of golf is these crazy golf ball claims.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. And then, like, they're always rolling out a new golf ball saying it has the newest technology.
Right, exactly.
So what happens,
Noodle's the only ball in town that's legal.
That or like, what are they? The bomb golf balls.
The bombs are good.
Yeah. So those will be the only ones that you can play with.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's no way they're going to be able to restrict it. There can't be. I mean,
it's so counterintuitive, or it's like counterproductive for the golf ball manufacturers too, because they want to sell you, like, you know, their $12 ball or whatever. I don't know. I don't buy nice balls. They want to sell you their $5 ball or whatever.
For sure.
And now it's like, well, they're not as good as they could be.
Yeah.
How are they going to charge, you know? I mean, I know they will, but
yeah,
it's like, it feels bad. You're like, you used to make better ones than this, and it costs more now?
Yeah. Well, like, and then it's like, they might restrict it to the point where only the tour players have to play a certain ball or whatever. And then it gets to the point where, like, everybody, the reason why we play these newer balls is because the tour players are playing these newer balls. So it's like, then it just ruins all the fun and like, I'm playing the new Pro V1 or whatever that so and so plays. Like, it kind of ruins the nostalgia or whatever.
Right. So who, the brand of golf ball that you play all the time?
Yeah, Vice. Yeah.
I was gonna say the name.
You were or you weren't?
I wasn't going.
No, yeah, I play Vice.
We're making brand deals.
Oh yeah.
Okay. He plays title. No. Why? Who plays Vice? Why do you play Vice?
Nobody plays it.
Didn't they just give you a bunch of golf balls one time? And you're like, heck yeah, I love Vice.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah, I tried out their golf. Well, they sent me golf balls, and then I tried out Snell, they had a thing going where I tried out their golf balls too, and it's just like, whatever, if you're gonna give me golf balls, I'm gonna try them out and see if I like them. I mean, I like Vice. I like the idea that I can buy in bulk and they reduce the price. Yeah, the more I buy, the less I pay. So, I mean, I'm all for that.
I exclusively buy my golf balls at a golf course.
The most expensive golf balls you can buy.
For so much money. It's so upsetting. I remember when that was the crazy thing, where you're playing in North Carolina, South Carolina.
No, oh, we're going to Myrtle? We're in North Carolina.
North Carolina, sure.
Yeah.
Everything's weirdly inexpensive. I mean, the course was still expensive. I mean, we were still playing, you know, well over $100 or whatever. But I bought a case of, and it came with 5 sleeves for some reason. It was like, I mean, maybe that's a normal thing, but it just felt like you just got a little more.
Yeah, right. No, everything's better down there.
Yeah.
I mean, buying golf balls up here at a golf course is ridiculous. Like, you just bought yourself a round of golf.
I mean, they were still expensive. It's just I got more sleeves than, like, normally you get 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got 5. I was like, this is bizarre.
Super nice.
But, okay, so what are your thoughts on the club? Let's start with the driver.
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue. Like, I feel like,
yeah,
whatever, let them hit whatever, like, they want to hit.
And, like, really, what's it going to do? It's gonna make you have, I mean, there's a break point in some holes, I'm sure, but for a lot of holes, you're just ironing down, right?
Like, right. Right, so instead of hitting a driver, you know, you're hitting a 3-iron or 4-iron. They're hitting their driving iron, and that's fine. Like, I don't see the
point. Add some numbers.
I mean, they're not gonna hit a 60, like a 60% driver off of the tee. They're just gonna hit.
I gotta teach these fellas how to play golf.
Ooh. Oh, sorry. We're watching the tournament as it's going on, and Rom just hit a pretty sweet shot.
Where is this tournament?
They're in Hawaii.
Ah.
Yeah.
Looks very warm and sunny.
Yeah, Kapalua, it's pretty nice. It's pretty sweet.
We have 4 inches of snow on the ground. So,
oh, yeah. Not... It's nowhere near as good as what they're dealing with right now.
I was wearing my fantastic Sunday golf hat today on a video call, and someone asked me if I was playing golf this morning.
Oh, really?
And I said, no, there's 4 inches of snow on the ground. I said, it looks like you're playing. I was like, it's a golf hat.
Yeah, obviously.
But people know when you wear a hat that says Sunday golf.
They knew? They knew that it was a golf hat.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
that's a... pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. I'm glad that they knew.
So, I'm out there repping them.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a big deal.
Obviously, I know nothing. That's my role here, but...
Well, there's 3% of players play a club.
That's
yeah.
it?
3%, yeah, that's it.
Can you curse on this?
Yeah.
Fuck them. Like, yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
3%,
it makes no sense.
Yeah.
If there's only 3% of, it's not going to do much. It's not helping you any.
Right.
Like, it's not an like impact. The impact, people. Yeah, the impact is not as great as, say, oh, we're going to reduce what.
Well, I can also see the 3% point of view where, like, guys, come on. Like, I could do this.
Yeah,
right. I had a huge advantage.
Yeah. I had so much going for me. I had at least 20 yards over you off the tee, and then now you guys took that away from me, and now I'm screwed.
I get it. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, man, being a professional athlete must suck. No, because it's like one of those things where it's like you're literally the best ever.
Yeah.
For like all your life, and then you get to the top, and it's like that guy's just better than me.
Yeah. Right.
And how much? But I can hit a 49-inch driver, and he can't. And that's my edge.
Yeah. That's your edge.
And I'd be really pissed if I just like
lost all of that.
I lost that. Yeah.
I mean, I think that these. Hell yeah, I don't know.
They probably all think it's
not going to do anything. Like, it's really not going to impact anyone. Everyone will be fine. I think the books, the greens books, that's definitely going to
be a huge... The greens book sounds like it'll be a much bigger deal.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge deal. But I think, and again,
no one's complaining.
No one complained about it. They were all for it. So, I think that's great. And then down the road, they are talking about, you know, the possibility of changing restrictions for the actual, like, club head of the driver to reduce the amount of distance.
What are they? Is that by volume? Is that how they measure them?
I don't remember. It's like by cc. I don't know.
That's cubic centimeter. So yeah. That's volume.
Yeah. Must be volume. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna try to work on the golf ball.
What are the other rules for golf? Just throw some. Do you know any off the top of your head
about the driver?
About any club? Are there like weird? Like, is there a limit? This should be a whole episode. Is there a limit to like putter? Like the size of your putter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can't have anything that is anchored to you. Like, it can't come up to your chest. Like,
isn't there a rule about how angled? It has to be angled a certain amount. I only know this from an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah? No, I don't know about that. It has to be a certain degree? Or...
And it, yeah, it, and I think it has to be angled. Having a straight one is...
Is it illegal? Yeah, I don't know.
According to the fictional Larry David.
No, I don't know about that one, but I know that there's definitely, you know, you can't have it, it can't be an anchored putter, so it can't come up to your chest. You can't have it.
It can't come up to your chest, but you can put it up your forearm.
You can not all the way up your forearm. It's only a certain distance,
dude.
Like, it's.
But I've seen so many people with it up their forearm. And yeah, so it's just right to the distance.
Right. Yeah, and then there's also like the people who have the long putters, but they don't touch their chest. So like it's just like hovering right below their chest, and then I mean, how often do you think they're actually putting up against their chest? It's probably happening a good bit during the round, so I don't know. There's a lot of,
you think?
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Don't they play with their competition?
Yeah,
don't you think their competition would say, hey, look at this guy?
I mean, eventually I think people will start calling you out, but they're not gonna tell, they're not gonna like report you in the round.
There's no snitches in golf.
Yeah, there's no snitches, no snitches in golf, for sure.
I find that hard to believe.
I think it's very, I mean, most of your snitches in golf come from people watching at home. Like, that's the crazy part, is that people, I think they're trying to restrict that too, but people used to call in from home and be like, oh, this guy cheated, I saw it on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, what a shot.
Who was it?
I don't know, I can't read it from here.
Did you chip it in?
Yeah, I chipped it in.
Chipped it in. They're just tearing up Matt Jones.
So why?
Minus
why,
16.
It's interesting, why aren't these greens covered with those little... those little holes.
You mean
they're
aeration?
They're missing the little holes.
Yeah, they don't...
Oh, what's that? We only play aerated golf courses?
We only play aerated golf courses at aerated discounted rates. Yeah, they don't deal with Plinko greens. But yeah, they're tearing up this course, basically. But anyway, yeah, we'll talk about it. And Cameron Smith's currently leading at minus 19. He's had a stellar round.
Okay, so that's my question. Is this what they're trying to get? Are they trying to make it so, like look at the scoreboard. We're at minus 19, 2 minus 17s, 2 minus 16s. Are they trying to lower this, like, minus 10s, and then one guy has minus 16, and it's insane? Is this why they're trying to slow it down? Like, I don't – like, I understand you're saying they're trying to get it – they're trying to keep them from hitting the ball far.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
But why?
I think that the reason why they're trying to make it so that, yeah, the scores aren't run up this high.
Yeah.
So, like, when they play some of these older courses that are shorter, they're basically on the green very close, like, with almost eagle attempts, you know,
right.
For
and
every
they're just chipping.
For every par four, they all have birdie attempts. So, like, it's just...
What's
trying
a par four at an old course?
What's like
a distance?
Like 350 or 360?
Oh yeah,
like yeah, pretty easy. Right. But for us, it's like we're struggling to get on the green with attempts to get par.
Right.
So like these guys are just driving it so far that the scores are like this minus 19. It's kind of crazy.
And they think it's bad.
Yeah, they don't think it's. I don't know. I mean, it just restricts. You could just have a driver and a good pitching wedges, which most of these guys, that's what they do anyway.
That's what I do.
But you want to see them play their longer irons. You want to see them play, you know, struggle to get onto the green. So the longer the distance, the better. Yep. But then again, it doesn't really matter because they're all still really good at golf.
Right.
Like, they're all going to be bunched up. It's
but,
not
but
like,
you still get to see guys hit different clubs.
Right, right. But you're not, I mean, I think that what they're really trying to do is to make it lower score, but, like, it's not the lower score, it's just how cool, how nice and interesting the golf course is. Like, to me, I feel like I'd rather see them score like crazy and see this really awesome golf course.
Yeah. And see some bunkers in front of them, see some out-of-bounds trouble.
Yeah,
I can see the
or, like, this one, 26 feet uphill,
yeah,
and he's 99 yards to the hole. Sink. This is sink right now, and he's got to make so many calculations to try to figure out where he's gonna what distance he's actually gonna hit.
Yeah.
So like 99 yards to the green, 26 feet up. It's probably an additional like 10-15 yards to the green. So like I don't know. Those are cool. I mean, yeah. Granted, they're at minus 19, and it's Saturday.
He's at minus 12, I believe.
Sink is at minus 12. Yeah. But the awesome part about them playing, see, that's amazing. The awesome part about them playing in Hawaii is that it's also primetime golf.
So like, oh yeah.
Yeah. So like if they play on the mainland,
it's prime time.
Yeah, it's prime time for us. This is pretty sweet because I mean most people have to work during the day and don't get to watch golf, so
we both work all day.
And I still watch golf. But yeah.
I know, you don't just come on.
But yeah, so it's pretty sweet. But anyway, yeah, Cameron Smith is destroying. I mean, his iron game has been really good. Really, really good. He started starting off the year great. I was a huge Justin Thomas was one of the five guys that I thought was going to be pretty good at this course. Mm. He's always good at Kapalua. It's just meant for him. He's a long driver. He recently had been struggling with his putting, but for some reason, taking the greens book away, maybe it helped him.
Okay, so these rules are in effect.
Right now.
Greens books.
No greens books, none.
So it's made no difference. Everything I just said.
Right,
has made no difference.
Well, this course is kind of... Okay, so I told you last time that they redid the greens, or they redid all the grass.
Right.
So the greens aren't as fast as they would normally be.
I thought you said they moved the tee boxes back.
They did move the tee boxes back, so it's a further distance, but the greens aren't fast.
Oh, okay.
Like, the grass is growing in still. It still has to, you know, mature to the point where you're playing on, like, a 13 on the stem meter. Right now, I think they're playing, like, 10 to 11. You know, that for us, it's, like, ridiculous. Like, we can't play that. Like, it would be awful. You know, I remember every shot, like, one of the shots, I'd be like, I can't make this shot. I cannot make this shot. And I'm chipping it onto the green, and sure enough, I, like, skull it, and it's off the green, and I didn't even get a chance to see it roll off. But, yeah, Justin Thomas is at minus 17. John Rahm was one of the favorites. Everybody thought that he was going to have a great year. I didn't really have him picked to win this, but he's up there. So, I mean, I guess he's got a chance tomorrow, but I don't know. He's only through 8, so he's got plenty of time to, I guess, tear away from the pack. But Cameron Smith's also at hole 8, too. So, I mean, this minus 19 could be, like, minus, I don't know, 24 by the end of their round. Who's doing bad? Oh, Phil, I thought was going to do great, but he ended up, I think, just choking. Where is he at? Phil is at minus 9, so he was minus 3 for the day. I thought that he would have a great round because he just came off of winning on the... I mean, I get it. It's the senior tour, and he just won, but he's been destroying on the senior tour. So, like, I figured, you know, he's played more than most of these people have played. So I figured, because, like, with the new season, they haven't been playing too much. Obviously, they're taking a break, but Phil's been playing, and so I figured he would have a... you know, a notch up on top of these guys. But yeah, he didn't do too well. At the bottom of the list, Jason Kokrak, Glover. Brandon Grace is a surprise. Minus 7, that's pretty bad. Brandon Grace is usually pretty good at this course. But yeah, Phil was probably the biggest. That kind of sucks. I wish I would have seen him up there because he's really good around the greens and he's good at putting, so I figured it would be fine. And he has the distance.
Maybe he needs his greens book.
maybe he needs his 48 inch driver. That's the problem. Maybe his distance is gone and he can't keep
maybe
up.
Maybe it's all mental though.
It's definitely gotta be mental.
Or he's having a bad round.
It's insane that he is even playing here because I think it was a long time since he's won on the tour, the actual PGA Tour. So it's awesome that he's actually playing. Koepka right here at minus 13. That's pretty good for him. I was shocked that he's not closer to the leaderboard. My pick of I thought Colin Morikawa was gonna win it. He's sitting at minus 14, which isn't that bad, but if Cameron Smith ends the day at minus 22, there's just no chance for. I highly doubt that Morikawa can. Go on a tear tomorrow. So coming down to the end of it, I would probably say that Justin Thomas is looking good for the win tomorrow.
Well, by the time this comes out, you'll know.
No, I'm gonna post this tonight. We won't know because they're not gonna play. We will have prime time again tomorrow.
You heard it here first, folks. Bet your house.
I'm gonna go with Justin Thomas. I mean, he has bones on his bag now. Bones used to be Phil Mickelson's caddy, and then he went to be a broadcaster. So like he was walking along with the guys on the course, which was great. He's a really good broadcaster. But then Justin Thomas was like, hey, you want to come be my caddy? And he just couldn't pass it up. So he went from caddying to broadcasting, which is probably one of the cushiest jobs you could get. Like, if somebody was like, hey, you want to go travel around the PGA Tour and be a broadcaster, I'd do it. Like, that sounds awesome.
I'm sure it's tough.
It's not as tough as carrying around somebody's bag and hoping that they win so that you get your salary for the year.
Wait, you don't get paid unless they win?
You don't get paid unless they win, yeah.
Oh my god, can you imagine caddying for someone bad?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you're caddying for any of these guys, like, let's see. Who was last? Kokrak? He's probably going to make $30,000 just to play.
They still get a you're saying they get a percent.
They get a percentage of whatever you make that year. But then that percentage is like, okay, sometimes you have to pay your own way to go places. Like, if you're not really... If you're playing with a guy that's, like, mediocre,
yeah,
like, not elite, like, you're paying your way everywhere. You're, like, riding in a bus.
I'm not riding in a bus.
Riding in a bus during COVID. Like, I couldn't even imagine. That would suck so bad. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Thomas, Justin Thomas. I think that he's got this. The only other person would probably be Patrick Cantlay, who went on a tear last year and is looking really good. That's the guy that like broke his neck, and I think he had to like learn how to walk or whatever. Came back destroyed last year. I mean, obviously he broke his neck like 5 years ago, okay, or whatever. But like he came back and he's just destroying right now. So yeah, Justin Thomas. Maybe Patrick Cantlay, but it looks like it's going to be Cameron Smith and probably John Rahm paired up in the final group. I think they're playing today, so yeah. Other than that, what do you think we should talk about next week? Anything you're thinking that you want to know about golf?
Yeah, I mean, I want to know it all. Because obviously, I'm one of the better golfers around, which is all the more impressive because I don't really follow professional golf. I want to start. I want to learn. I'd be interested in, I don't know. I like the idea of club rules.
Rules just of the clubs?
Rules of the club. But rules in general, I think, would be fun to cover as well.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, what you guys normally do here at the One Iron Podcast, which is covering that week in golf.
Yeah.
So,
I really want to get back into doing the history of the golf courses. I like doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's always good to see who designed them. Because then that plays into we can go play courses and we know who, like, some of these architects are. So we could play on some of these architects. Okay. We did that. We did that down in Myrtle. I forget who we played on, but we definitely did it. And that's how I chose one of the courses, because I knew what the architect was. So I was like, oh, let's go play this guy. Because, I mean, we typically...
I bet it's one where I lost all my balls.
I mean, we lose all our balls in most places. like I remember one round, I think I lost, like, at least 6 balls before the turn, because I kept on hitting it in the water. Like, every single pond,
yeah, but I mean, also,
ditch that had also, water in it.
If we played the way you're supposed to, you wouldn't freaking shank 3 off the same tee box in anger.
True, that's very true. Yeah, no, I think we should, we'll definitely cover some club equipment stuff. Oh, yeah, big equipment thing, Patrick Reed signed with PXG. That was huge this week.
What is PXG?
PXG is a golf company.
PXG.
PXG, yeah, yeah, sorry.
I know,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So, like, it's one of the most expensive golf clubs that you could potentially purchase.
Are they good, or are they...
Just, no, they're really good.
Their shtick just
they're really
the most
no,
expensive?
No, they're really nice. They're really...
Those brands are, like, the smartest brands in the world.
No, they're really nice clubs, and
you can't afford our shit. Don't
right,
even ask.
Right. No, that's exactly...
And you're like, oh, my God, I have to.
We ran into... I remember we were playing out at... what is it? Whiskey Creek.
I remember this. And someone had...
Yeah. They had those clubs. I was like, oh, that's insane. This dude's got like $8,000 worth of clubs in his back.
What would I do with $8,000 instead of buy golf clubs? I don't know.
Well, the problem was he wasn't good. Like, we ended up watching him play and he wasn't good. So,
well,
he's got good clubs. That's all that matters, right?
Though, honestly, that seems like the worst. I have half my clubs are hand-me-downs and I blame them. Exclusively,
right?
Poorly. I think I actually do need new grips.
Yeah, you need new grips. Yeah, yeah, we'll have to put new grips on for you.
But see, those excuses just come right to me. If you have $8,000 of clubs,
there's no excuse. You're like,
ball.
Well, dude, it's
I'm hitting noodles.
Dude, if you're hitting noodles and you have PXG clubs, then you should probably just...
Okay, so who signed with PXG?
Oh, Patrick Reed signed with PXG, and he has for the longest of time been a he didn't sign with anybody, so he was mixing up his clubs. Mm-hmm. So like he could have a Titleist irons, and then he could have some Callaway wedges or something like that, you know. So like he just did whatever he wanted, which was awesome.
Find out who this architect is, do a podcast on it, and then I'll go, if you pay, I'll go play there.
Okay. No, we know who it is. Let's see if I had it still.
What a course.
Because we did it.
This isn't good podcasting.
What? No, this is great podcasting. No, we looked it up.
Scanning their word.
We did it before. Podcast. Yeah, Ben Crenshaw and Bill Corr. We talked about it in our last podcast. Okay. It's okay. We got it. We know who did it.
Bill Corr.
Okay. But I don't know if Ben Crenshaw has any courses on
that. I'm just saying I'd like to go to Hawaii.
Well, I want to go to Hawaii. Obviously, we want to go to Hawaii and play. It's gorgeous there. Well, most of Hawaii is gorgeous. There's one side of the island that's not gorgeous, right? It just rains all the time.
I don't know.
We had family that lived in Hawaii, and they said that they lived on the wrong side of the island, and it was depressing.
I don't want to talk about that. I have some things I can say.
But yeah, so yeah, we'll talk about some other stuff. But Patrick Reed, yeah, he
ended up... Is that really what they said?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's true, which I doubt.
Yeah.
So much doubt on that. But if that's true, hilarious. Yeah. Way to do your research.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a right and a wrong side to the island, I guess. But yeah, he signed with PXG. He seems to be doing okay. I mean, I was watching him off the tee, and he was hitting bombs. It was crazy. But I don't think his putter hasn't been rolling for him. But he's at minus 13, so he still has a chance to go crazy tomorrow and finish up today. So maybe. But no, I'm going Justin Thomas. He's going to win it. And then we'll put out a podcast on Tuesday or Wednesday talking about crazy results from the weekend. We'll definitely need to get into the LPGA Tour and start talking about them.
Yep.
We'll see if we can do some equipment stuff, some architect stuff. But yeah, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.